This is There Goes My Money.
Welcome to There Goes My Money for February 20th, 2024. There Goes My Money is the twice-a-month podcast about new products, new pre-orders, and new things we've bought. There Goes My Money is made possible by the support of our generous patrons, including our Touch Tier patrons. They have the opportunity to host a show with me. If you'd like to sign up and be part of the show, head over to patreon.com/tfradio to become a Touch patron. I'm XV. With me this week, of course, I have our cast of Touch Tier patrons, the great and mighty Sean.
I've been touched.
Have you been the power?
Show us on the robot.
Decepticon
touched you.
We also have Frank with us.
Hey.
And Joey.
Hello.
And not a touched patron, but suspiciously here anyway, we have Diecast.
Hey, everybody.
So I can only assume Diecast didn't like what I was doing with what used to be his show, and he's here to try to fix it.
No, I really liked the last show. It was amazing. And it's definitely a good listen.
Wait, 2 hours.
And I just for the record, I am silently touched because I do contribute. I just don't like my name being put out there.
And Bob's here too.
I am here. I introduced myself with my bad joke.
All right, so let's jump right into it. So we have a hot pre-order this week, MPG-08 Yamabuki, the second yellow train bot.
Who's building this thing?
Not I.
Not I.
I've just bought it.
Some QEC issues with earlier releases.
Does anyone want an all? I would say all yellow combiner, and then I'm thinking of Devastator, and I'm like, yes, I want an all yellow Devastator, but I don't want an all yellow Trainbot combiner.
Is there any chance this would have gold plastic syndrome because it's all yellow?
No, because it's yellow, not gold.
Okay. I know brown tends to go towards it too.
Yeah, well, I mean, yellow and brown kind of are treated the same way. You know, to get a really good brown color, I think they go through a similar process as doing gold plastic. Color science in different materials and situations is weird. For example, in digital color, brown is just dark orange. Brown in digital doesn't really exist. It is literally just dark orange. That's how electronic color theory works. In plastics, if you darken the gold, you get certain brown colors that are desired, but also they would carry some of the same risks as actually just gold.
So is this even still an issue? Gold yes. plastic syndrome?
It can be. I can't think of like a very recent example of that with the Hasbro toys. There might be one that I'm blanking on, but like it has been an issue this century for sure.
Has it been an issue of something produced this century, or has it been an issue this century?
Yeah, the Universe produced. 2005 MicroMaster aerial bots, which were in unique plastic colors never used on that set in Japan. The combiner parts were cast in gold plastic. I had a set of them. Had being the operative word, because the pelvis chunk just crumbled itself little by little. That was fully cast in swirly gold plastic. So, like, it did still keep occurring. I just can't think if there's a more recent example than that. It's something to be wary of, I would say.
When you see those swirls in there, I mean, that almost speaks of process more than color. So I wonder if it's a process issue.
It's certainly something to do with the process of it. But to get, you know, color A or color B, you've got to put additives in. And it's possible that the additives that lead to golds and browns just interact in a certain way with the plastic that weakens it structurally to a degree that's acceptable when it's produced. You know, they're not producing these things with the mind of, yeah, they're going to last 50 years. They're producing these things with a mind of they're going to last the 6 months that they're going to be on the shelf. And then maybe a little while after that in someone's home, because first and foremost, they're toys. They're basically made with the idea that they're disposable.
Sure.
That's shifting now. That the adult collector market is becoming more of a force in toy sales versus children, because children and most parents won't afford it. Children can't afford it. We can barely afford it. So, you know,
children don't take care of their toys. That's the problem.
Yeah. Well, Then by that same token, though, if the gold plastic does decay and start to crumble, no one would know the difference between that being a materials issue and the child just being a destructive little monster, as all children are.
Yes.
Now, Chris, you are probably the best person to ask this question to.
I'm the best person to ask any question, Diecast. You know this.
In the promo pictures,
yeah,
the train looks like a dingy yellow or orangish yellow. And then in robot mode, he looks yellow like Bumblebee, bright yellow.
Yeah, so the robot mode one is definitely a picture of a physical product. I'm not convinced that the train mode picture here is not just a recolor of the render of the original version of this.
Okay.
Because that'd be really easy for them to do.
It's bright yellow. It doesn't look as bad as that digital render. Because I'm like, I don't want, you know, if it's going to be yellow, do it bright yellow. Don't do it a dingy yellow that makes it look
very unappealing. I would say the actual color is probably close to, like, on the arm panels where it's not in direct light, it's a little bit shaded. It's probably going to be about that color, which, you know, it's close to like good American cheese yellow.
Is this the Dr. Yellow one?
Neither of these are called Dr. Yellow. The theory I've heard is that if there is going to be a full combiner, the combiner might be Dr. Yellow.
Which one's Mellow Yellow?
That might be the third or fourth one. Or at least they call it Mellow Yellow.
Is there one called Yellow Snow?
Say again, Bob?
Is there one called Yellow Snow?
Well, okay, so this one is redecoed from Yukikaze, and Yukikaze could mean something like snowy wind or cold wind. So if you wanted to call one Yellow Snow, this is probably the closest you would get in the spirit. I cannot say I support that notion, but, you know, if you want to reach just a little bit.
Just a little.
Yeah.
He pees into the wind.
I feel sad for anybody who has like got a strong inclination to get this for whatever reason. This train bot seems to be the most like universally panned thing that has come out in a long time. It's kind of remarkable, actually.
Now, is that a Diaclone color?
No, it's not. This is more like real world train colors.
Were so, the train bots ever Diacloned?
Yeah, they were Diaclone toys to start with.
Sure. Oh, I knew they were Japanese. I just didn't know if they had gone back that far. Or
they were pre-Transformers toys. Okay. Maybe just barely pre-Transformers toys. And I think there was actually two Diaclone colorways, one of which was adapted pretty much straight on for Raiden. So like it didn't fall far from the original tree. But yeah, I'm not getting this. I don't think anybody else here. Diecast, you'd be the most likely one, I think, and I think even you know better at this point.
Yeah, I was actually thinking in my head how far would these have to be clearanced for me to pick one up.
Did you come up with a number?
I'm thinking it would have to be at least half.
Yeah, I mean, like, I don't think I would get these either way, but for me to even start to consider it, I'd have to be able to get each one for under $50.
Joey loves trains.
I love trains.
I love trains too. I don't love this.
Well, I don't have it out because I don't have the room for it anymore. Yeah. But I have a pretty large electric train collection.
Oh, just nice.
In the attic. But this is right down my alley in theory, but it's just too much. The first one to come out for this set, I've noticed they've been $150, $160.
Yeah. So,
like this one is, right? But they were over $200 to start with, were they not?
Yeah, the first one when it pre-ordered was a lot more expensive, and then the price kind of rolled back, and I think they kind of kept that lower level.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Okay. But that's still $150 per bot is insane. No, thank you.
And I still waited to get most of them on sale before I bought them.
And you still regretted it.
And I still, well, yeah.
How many do you have?
I have all of them.
Oh.
He's diecast. He does
okay.
that.
Yep. And I like trains too. So,
yeah.
What's not to like with trains?
Nothing. Nothing to not like.
Every single one of us is old enough to have grown up during the time when model trains in our childhoods was a popular and normal thing. We probably all had at least one train set. Joey clearly kept the love alive for longer than probably the rest of us did. But I think, you know, all of us, this is something nostalgic from our childhood, and I'm just kind of disappointed by this because they're not good toys.
I have the Transformers train set from Tyco.
Oh, neat. From your childhood, you'd buy it later?
I bought it a couple years ago.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. It's complete, too.
With the box?
I got the box and everything. It's just missing some of the little figures.
So it's not complete?
Not quite complete. Okay. Close. It's pretty close.
Mostly complete.
Considering how much stuff it comes with, it's
98% there.
It's eBay listing complete, where the title says, you know, complete such and such, and then you get down to the description, like missing a few little figures. Yeah. So next up we have Flame Toys, Kurokarakuri, Ultra Magnus, and Starscream first look samples. For reference, Kurokarakuri is Flame Toys's like several hundred dollars a piece large action figure series, which
so they picked the time to put this out when Hasbro HasLab's putting out a big Ultra Magnus also.
Yeah, but this one doesn't transform, so it's fine.
This is a totally different style.
Yeah, this is more like IDW.
Oh, there you go.
Reminds me of a Gundam.
I was gonna say it reminds me of the spaceship for
Robotech.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, the FDF1.
Yeah, the Magnus does with those two stacks on top. Yeah. Like
Joey, grab it. And let's see.
Does Joey have an FDF1? No,
okay. Yeah, he got it from John D.
I
did.
That's the majority of it from John D. I had to part it out after that, but yes.
So if you want something that looks like a Gundam, look at the end of this gallery at the Shattered Glass Megatron. That is a Gundam.
That's weird looking.
Yeah, that's Megatron plus a Strike Freedom, basically. I know these things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kurokarakuri figures, like, they're interesting to look at, but I can't imagine, like, I appreciate the restyling. I appreciate the artistic interpretation that goes into all of them. They're not all just a direct, you know, this or this. They are that idea filtered through someone's imagination. I like that as a concept. I don't like that as a concept, like $300 to $500 enough, though.
Is that the price point on this? Because I don't see anything in the article.
The Kurokarakuri figures float around that number, yeah.
Gotcha.
The Tarn, I think they did previously, was pretty high on the expensive side. They did a Drift, as I recall, which was not quite as expensive, but Tarn would have been a bigger figure. So Ultra Magnus is probably going to be kind of up there. Starscream might be more, middle tier. But yeah, I like them. I just, I would never pay for them. I don't know. To go back to Diecast game before, I don't even know, like, how far on clearance they'd have to go before I'd pick one up, because I don't, like, if the Tarn had ever gotten really cheap, I might have picked that up, because that was a really good interpretation of Tarn. I don't know that any of the others really spoke to me enough that I'd want to actually own one.
It'd have to be a gift, and then I'd feel guilty about not throwing it away.
I was going to say the same thing. The Tarn is the only one that I was really tempted on.
Yeah. Yeah, because Tarn is the one that hewed closest to the source material, really. The Ultra Magnus kind of is doing that. Like, this, it's very IDW Ultra Magnus, and it's kind of doing the, like, Maximus Ambus thing from the last couple issues of More Than Meets the Eye before the title change.
Am I not mistaken, though, that he transformed in IDW?
Yeah, I don't know if they showed an alt mode for the Maximus Ambus temporary upgrade. But, like, in principle, yes, Ultra Magnus could transform in IDW. In principle, all of them could transform in IDW. They just barely ever depicted anyone transforming in More Than Meets the Eye.
Yeah.
It even got to be such a thing that they called it out in dialogue once or twice. That's called hanging a lampshade on it. All right, so keeping to the tack of higher-end figures that probably none of us have room for in our collections, the 3-0 MDLX Optimus, Megatron, Bumblebee, Generation 1 colors versions. These are all pre-existing MDLX figure molds, which are done in animation style, some cell shading kind of decos, like bright flat colors. They pop visually. I don't really.
Pretty.
Yeah, I don't like the design work, though, is the problem, which, you know, pre-existing with the 3-0 stuff.
Again, these don't transform, correct?
Correct.
No. They do have a very Japanese aesthetic as well.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, there's
manga aesthetic.
Yeah, there's a little bit of that in there. Yeah, they're a little overdesigned. That's another way to say it.
Yeah, I mean, basically would be like, what if Pat Lee had done them, but done them well?
Well, then it wouldn't have been Pat Lee doing them, would it?
Nobody would have been paid to make them, so.
Hey, there's a universe out there somewhere where they did it well and they got paid.
I would like to see this magical blue sky and universe.
I'm admiring Optimus's abs here in this one picture. And plus his chest is very pushed out. It does have kind of a Pat Lee aesthetic to it.
I'm just looking at Bumblebee's calves. They're huge.
He didn't skip leg day.
No, exactly.
Lower leg day.
It's all that running he does because he can't transform.
Because, yeah, he doesn't transform.
Wasn't Bumblebee's face yellow originally in the cartoons? Or
no, it's gray.
It's gray.
Yeah. So according to the article, these are first going to be exclusives during TFCon in Los Angeles, and then they're going to cycle around to select retailers in limited quantities. Is anybody going to TFCon Los Angeles? First question.
Yes.
Oh, you are? Are you going to buy one of these while you're there?
Hell no.
Buy the set.
Is anybody going to buy these if/when they are available through online retailers in the nebulous future? Getting a lot of negative responses here. Remember, this is an audio podcast. They can't hear you shaking your head. Okay, so here's an interesting one that came up. Universal Studios Bumblebee popcorn bucket with lights.
Dotcast, you going to buy that tomorrow?
Oh, you could, couldn't you?
Yeah, I would have to go in, I think, unless they have a gift shop outside. But then I still think you have to pay for parking. So I still think it would.
Okay, so
$500.
Yeah, this is priced at $34.99. So if you have to have park admission and pay for the parking, you're probably at, yeah, probably almost $200 just to go in and buy a $35 popcorn bucket, probably with some popcorn thrown in as a bonus.
The thing is, it looks cool, but I don't think I'd get my hand in there to get popcorn out.
Yeah.
That's what I said. From the photos, this doesn't look like it's going to hold much popcorn.
You know, I was so the Ghostbusters popcorn buckets that are coming out around now, there's that Slimer one, which looks really cool, like the popcorn spilling out of Slimer's mouth. But it also looks like it'd be really hard to just like get in there and actually get the popcorn out of that. The Ghost Trap one's much better. But this seems much the same way.
I'm going to make a daring prediction here. This is probably made for children sized hands.
Yeah, but they're going to eat the popcorn too fast. And it's going to hear running.
Right, but then you have to go back and pay for more popcorn. It's perfect.
There you go.
This is the theme park model, Sean.
Plus, yeah. you might get free refills now, if you purchase this.
The Grimlock looks cool.
Oh, there's a Grimlock one?
Yeah, the Grimlock looks cool, but it's not at Universal yet, from what I understand.
I would just like to get the Grimlock.
Yeah, the Grimlock's neat looking.
Oh, the shiny, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, he's got chrome.
Kind of neat.
I love it.
I like the teeth.
So the tag on that says 179 yen. So that seems like it's a Japanese product.
You got to go to Beijing to get that one. Universal Studios Beijing Grimlock popcorn bucket.
Maybe it's yuan then. That would make more sense. That makes more sense than that thing costing approximately $1.50 US. Mm-hmm. If it was yen.
Mm-hmm.
I'd pay $1.50.
I'd buy that for a dollar.
Mm-hmm.
If Universal actually had these, the Grimlocks, I would be tempted to go.
Yeah. I mean, if the Grimlocks became available in the US, you could like get them even from Universal, like through an online store. I would definitely consider it. That's pretty cool looking. I like it.
You know, there are people that go to these places and they go there just to shop for other people.
Really?
Yes.
It's kind of like a secret shopper.
Yeah.
Yes. It's a theme park personal shopper, basically.
It's big with like lightsabers and stuff.
Oh yeah.
Yes. We have bought many a thing. When I say we, I mean my wife has bought many a thing at Disney that's Disney exclusive only. And so yeah.
Near Disney?
No. Close.
I have a close friend who is very, you know, Disney oriented. Fortunately, though, they do not go quite that far as to have someone, you know, middleman them. like all the exclusive park merchandise.
Yeah, it's the thing about it is it's not that bad as far as the extra expense on top of what it costs. It's just you have to, you're trusting the person is going to do the thing they say they're going to do.
Yeah.
And they have I don't know the website. She found it. She told me about it. And mm-hmm. It was a thing. It started off a thing that my daughter wanted, and they're big, really big into Disney. And that's great. So, you know, I don't know. They're going to go anyway, and they're going to buy things for other people anyway. So it's like an extra, I don't know, whatever, few dollars on mm-hmm. top of the cost. So,
yeah, I mean, for years and years, you know, in Japan, there would be stuff that's exclusive to like convenience stores there or websites that would only sell to Japanese addresses. So, like, for mm-hmm. the longest time, middleman services much like that were a thing. And for the longest time, it was the same kind of like, you know, you talk to people that you know who've used one or the other of these services, mm-hmm. you know, find out from them if it's trustworthy. Like, I imagine the same kind of process goes through with this. You talk to people you know in the same field and like, have you ever had a problem with this? No? Okay, I'll order from there too. Like, a Disney's lot of that is going to work that way.
Disney's been cracking down on that, though. People going in and getting things for other people. There's some people that have lost their passes and stuff.
Oh, wow.
Why do they care? They make money.
I don't know.
I don't know why they care.
I don't get that. Any company cares about something like that.
They care because if the middleman buys it and sends it to someone, they're only going to get, you know, $100. If they make the people who actually want the stuff come in and buy it themselves, they're getting $5,000.
Yeah, it's a very valid point you have there.
$5,000?
Where does this thing open up for the popcorn? I
believe you
remember on Indiana Jones when they eat the monkey brains?
Yeah.
If you mean the Grimlock one, though, I'm not sure we have a picture of that.
Yeah.
That is the smallest amount of popcorn. Well, I've got the Optimus Prime one from the AMC theater deal.
Oh, yeah.
What was that, last year, I guess?
Yeah.
Rub it in, Joey.
Well, they had one left. And I was like, hey.
And you didn't get it for Sean? Wow, some friend, Joey.
And one left. And it was the display model. And I was have these? And the girl that was selling tickets, she said, well, we have this one. And I was like, well, can I buy this one? And she was like, looked around, and she was like, I guess. And so there you go.
Did you get two straw smoke sacks or just the one?
I did. No, but the whole setup with the truck, right, is supposed to be you open up the trailer for the popcorn and the cab is for the drink.
Yeah.
Okay. The cab being for the drink, that's a joke, but the trailer for the popcorn is almost okay. Mm-hmm. It's still not enough, but the bumblebee head for it is like monkey brains in Indiana Jones. You're right, Sean. there's not enough room in there for popcorn. It's two handfuls and you're done.
For the Grimlock one, I could almost imagine like just hinging the whole dinosaur head open and that's your popcorn bucket.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, just the mental image of that is kind of cracking me up inside. But the Optimus Prime truck was the best like branded popcorn bucket of that fashion. I assume the Ghost Trap one is probably going to be similarly effective. It might not be quite as big, but like, you know, it's got, you know, an easily accessible internal volume the way they have that set up. The rest of them are just, you know, weird novelties. If you want to eat popcorn out of the head of one of your favorite characters, that's certainly an option that will exist for you. All right, so moving on into some third-party stuff, we have a couple of Dr. Wu entries here. So first up is Dr. Wu's microscope and grapple. Yep, they actually called one of their little things grapple. It's Hauler, the green crane, but they're calling it grapple.
So are these like world's smallest transformers?
I've got the Galvatron. I've got the Galvatron, and for size comparison, he's about the same size as a regular Yoda.
Hmm. But do you have a banana?
I love these little figures.
Do I have a what?
Yeah, these are cool.
A banana?
Uh-huh.
No, I ate it last night. I can go get the peel out of the
garbage. Is that the unit of measurement? Is that the standard
scale
banana? I thought it was soda.
It's not a plantain. It's about the size of a plantain.
Sometimes it's a pack of cigarettes. Just kind of depends where in the world you are.
But they're great. They're great for this size. They're fully articulated, and they transform pretty well too.
Nice.
So yeah, so I love it.
Microscope is Perceptor. Grapple is Hauler. And then we also have Black Mirror and Crane Hook, which is Magnificus and Grapple.
Yeah, looks just like Perceptor, except in black. Looks pretty cool, actually.
Welcome to Magnificus.
I know. I've got a vintage KO Magnificus.
Oh.
Yeah. But, yeah, those are kind of neat. Yeah, they would fit in pretty nicely. Fill in those spaces where you can't fit other bots.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, usually these are, like, pretty well reasonably priced. I mean, they're teeny tiny, but they're not, like, stupid expensive for being teeny tiny. And, like Sean's talking about, everybody seems to love them who has gotten some of these.
I love them.
Yeah,
we're talking about, like, a two-pack for about $20, something like that? Or
I'd imagine more like 30 or so. But, yeah, I mean, the pricing on Dr. Wu stuff is usually pretty solid. So is anybody thinking about picking up the Dr. Wu little micro guys?
Not that set.
I might, if I saw them.
I'm looking at the Cosmos ones. They've got like three different Cosmos sets.
Okay, so they would have like a Cosmos, they'd have a Pathfinder. Do you know what the third one was?
They got green, blue, and black.
Oh, the black?
So you got Pathfinder black and Pathfinder
blue. Yeah, okay.
But then all three of them come with a different cone head.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, I would have to imagine in some way or another these are gang molded together.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Because, like, you know, Crane and Microscope are paired together in both of these. So, like, there has to be some relation between the two-pack characters in production terms.
I don't remember where I heard it, but the Galvatron was supposed to be remade in the Straxes, and I haven't seen that yet.
Everybody is just wanting to turn Galvatrons into Straxes these days. Well, it's the weirdest
thing.
Let's
do it. Let's just do it and get it over with.
I mean, like, I think Hasbro was planning to do that for a little while, too, according to, like, some of the inside info people.
Well, they were going to do a weird Straxis, and it wasn't based on Galvatron. It was based on something else from the
movie. I mean, that was whatever idea they had for the fourth Netflix series, which blissfully wasn't. But, like, at the Kingdom Galvatron toy, like, I can see them squeezing a Straxis out of that and it probably being okay.
All you got to do is change the head, somehow figure out way to put a pickaxe on there, and basically that's it. Hard.
Yeah. All right. Iron Factory has pictures of Yalgar.
Of who?
The Black Leo Kaiser piece that has five different interpretations of the names. Yeah, the shorts. Leo
He's
Kaiser
basically
shorts.
The waist.
He's Leo Kaiser shorts. That's fine. Yeah, this one, like, having seen pictures of the...
Okay, wait a minute. Lyle Kaiser is the bad guy in...
The Victory Combiner.
But he's the bad guy?
Yeah.
Okay. And the animal names they have has nothing to do with their transformation. It has to do with their chest, their beast, their breast master guy, right?
Yeah.
Okay. That's what was throwing me off.
Okay. So, I mean, the blue one... whichever one of the legs, you know, came out recently, and like it basically just has a whole ass combiner leg as an accessory that it can slot into.
That was Drillhorn, wasn't it?
Sure, we'll go with that. Blue guy. Probably is Drillhorn. I'm not great on my Leo Kaiser guys.
So I'm assuming this is a project where they're kind of doling it out a little bit at a time.
Yeah, they're not doing it like as a whole set.
But they come with their breast master partner. Yeah.
So, like, looking at the pictures they have here of their, you know, mock-up gray Leo Kaiser, it looks a lot like this is going to do the same thing as Drillhorn or Kill Bison, I think, is the other leg.
Kill Bison, that's it, yeah.
Yeah. Like, it looks like the main toy might mostly fold up and be the gun for Leo Kaiser, and then there's going to be a separate piece that comes with that to be the lower torso and pelvis for the combiner.
Okay, if you're doing this, the main thing you would want to do is make it somehow tie into HasLab's Death Source,
Yeah, show the combined, it might be a little too
how
small
they are
height
wise. Yeah, so I'm thinking these are Iron Factory. They're going to be like core class size, aren't they?
Yeah, something like that. They're little, like legend size. Yeah,
this toy's got some great articulation.
Mm-hmm. Well, it helps that it doesn't actually have to turn into a combiner part.
Well, yeah, there's that. But I like the Wolverine claws they gave him there too.
Yeah.
It's because he's the best at what he does, and what he does isn't nice.
Not pretty. It's not pretty.
He's the best at what he does, and what he does is pants.
Yeah, he does. Maybe a Speedo.
He's a jockstrap.
Yeah, no, yeah. I mean, there's a lot of personality in these little guys. My issue with them is just that, like, they're not even trying to make the individual robots combine with each other. They're, you know, they're making a whole set of combiner limbs and body, and you just stick the toys into those parts. The old MicroMaster combiners were the same process, but like you can kind of understand that because those were made in 1991.
Mm-hmm.
At this point, I expect a little bit more, especially out of third parties.
Well, I mean, you could either have it look good, or you could have it be a pure combiner. You have to kind of pick and choose.
And there's our Dinobot 6-bot combiner from last year.
I would really like to see this combiner done
as
a HasLab.
Oh, yeah,
I would love to have Lyle Kaiser. I wish they would make that. That would be great.
That would be awesome.
Yeah, no, Leo Kaiser as a HasLab project where it's, you know, 6 deluxes and a pile of accessories for them.
No, like, it's got to be 8. It's got to be 8. He has a sister, and then there's Death Cobra.
Oh, yeah, Lysak and Death Cobra. Okay. I mean, like, those could be stretch goals. I'm sure they could engineer 2 of the toys to just be, like, easy retools into those extra characters. But, like, even all the more so, that makes it feel like a perfect HasLab project at some point down the line. Maybe when it's the 42nd anniversary.
Stop it.
8 deluxes would be 200.
Have to be a weapon.
And a stand,
stand, and yeah.
and then their breast, you might get their breast partners. But they did such a good job with Death Source and his breast master, so I think they could do it. I was really hoping that was going to be this year's HasLab. But,
All right. So next up, we have MX-47 Ron, the X-Transbot Ironhide.
Oh, that's the thing we saw like 4 years ago.
Well, they're claiming it's going to come out second quarter this year.
This is kind of boring.
Is it
transform?
Yeah, it's cartoon Ironhide. Of course it's boring.
I don't think it looks as exciting as cartoon Ironhide.
No.
It looks like a miniaturized version of Masterpiece Ironhide.
Well, the rub there, though, is it's not miniaturized. It's Masterpiece scale.
Is it?
Yes.
Huh. It does look like it's miniaturized.
It's that or it's Dad Bod Ironhide.
Hank Hill Ironhide.
And what?
He sells propane and propane accessories.
You know, on some of I should hate that idea, but I don't.
He's a propane delivery truck.
There's his back. Okay.
Hey, if any Transformer is going to be Hank Hill, it's going to be Ironhide.
It's true. It was Frank Welker's cowboy voice.
That's right. Every time I look into a monitor.
Ironhide was Peter Cullen.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
He was Peter Cullen. He was Optimus Prime talking to Optimus Prime.
Yeah. Prime talking to Ironhide.
Which, you know, just it reinforces Peter Cullen was a great voice actor because I didn't realize for years and years that both of those characters were him.
It also realizes they really hated him because that killed everybody he was in the movie.
Yeah, they did.
Oh, that's really unfortunate when you put it like that.
Poor guy.
He's like, oh, Optimus dies. At least they're still Ironhide. Oh.
Well, had to be kind of bad being Chris Latta too. Starscream, Wheeljack both died during the movie.
His voice had to hurt.
Sparkplug just disappeared at some point between season 2 and the movie.
He retired.
He had a heart attack.
Eventually, but like he was still working after he was not in Transformers anymore.
No, I'm talking about Sparkplug had a heart attack.
Okay. I thought you were talking about Chris Latta.
I was talking about the character, not the person.
They got a picture of him laying down like in a Superman pose. It's hilarious.
Oh yeah, from More Than Meets the Eye Part 3 or whatever, when he's inexplicably flying with Blue Streak.
He's got a rocket sticking out of his back, but he is like he can't lay down. He's like,
yeah, that's supposed to be a flight pose, which
his guts in the way.
It looks about as convincing as it did in the cartoon, I'll put it that way. Yeah, I was wondering if there'd be any traction on this, just because like there was a lot of complaints about the official masterpiece Ironhide, you know, when that came and went several years ago. I was wondering if this might actually be like a desirable alternative for some people, but then like, yeah, now that you make a lot of fun of it, I can kind of see the torso is kind of, you know.
I thought the biggest complaint was it looked like he was wearing an adult diaper, and this one here is pretty similar.
I'll just stick with my. He got shot in the gut, Ironhide, or in the chest.
Yeah, I mean, you have to admit the Studio Series one probably is like the best rendition of G1 Ironhide to date. I mean, you know, aside from the original toy, which is perfect in every way.
I have no problems with my masterpiece Ironhide and Ratchet because I got the Shadow Fisher upgrade kit. Mm. At the time, it was like a $20 kit to make the door. It looks perfect. It's what, you know, Hasbro should have done, or Takatomi should have did to begin with. But it's totally perfect. And now that upgrade kit goes for like as much as the toy. Like,
really?
Because everyone realized like that upgrade kit fixed the issue with that toy. So yeah, I don't need this because I'm perfectly happy with my masterpiece ones.
Well, yeah, it's the same thing with Sludge's feet. How much was the upgrade kit for Sludge's feet?
Oh, you mean recent Sludge?
Yeah.
I don't remember. $15 or so, maybe.
That's because it's third party. It probably would have cost Hasbro $3.
Yeah, I mean, those non-F kits are very reasonably priced, if that's the one you're talking about.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
I don't remember the feet issue on him, but I don't worry about it.
He's got a gap. He's got a gap for his feet to slide up, but instead they're just pointing straight down.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the toy looked like it was designed to have the toes point back to close that up and have a little bit cleaner underside, and they had to cut that for budget.
Yeah, that stuff doesn't bother me that much because it's, you know, regular retail figures and not masterpiece.
Yeah, I mean, masterpiece should be held to a different standard. Okay, so this isn't like an early prototype, but it's kind of weird and I wanted to talk about it a little bit. Fans Hobby Armada and Energon Starscream prototype.
So, how is it both?
Yeah, they've gone an interesting way here, and they've made one Starscream toy that in some way is going to represent both the character as he appeared in Armada and Energon. And like,
that's where they paint it?
No, so there's going to be user customizable panels on the toy that you can you know, flip in or out, and you can move like the large cannons. So you can turn it into an alt mode that looks kind of like an F-22, like Energon Starscream, or you can have it configured where it looks close to what the Armada toy looked like, which was a complete, you know, sci-fi space plane kind of thing.
The Energon Starscream is a great toy.
The Armada Starscream is a great toy.
It's huge.
Yes! Yes, I don't think that means what you think it means. That's not a negative.
Well, he doesn't go to scale with anything, and he's like that in one episode. I mean, he's the only toy you can play with him with is Supreme Class Cheetor, and Don's the only one who has that.
No, you're thinking of Cybertron Starscream.
Oh, am I? What's the other one look like?
Armada Starscream.
Armada Starscream was the first one. It was huge, wasn't it? Came with the Minicon.
Yeah.
Armada Starscream was just sort of moderately sized.
It was very reasonably sized. Cybertron was when they did the Supreme size Starscream.
Was ginormous.
Yeah, and he was only like that for one episode. But, you know, they wanted a big toy, and I don't think they wanted to redeco Unicron again because that had worked out so well for them during Energon, didn't it?
Well, they did Cybertron.
Yeah, much later. Yeah, remember when we could get two gigantic toys like that per year?
Mm-hmm.
And they only cost like $50?
I worked until they got down to $20.
I love Fans Hobby. I'm worried they're doing too much with this, trying to make it two different Starscreams.
What's the point? Why try to do two different Starscreams?
I don't know. We'll see how it works out.
Yeah, I'm interested to see how this approach works for the robot mode. The conversion of the vehicle mode is surprisingly convincing. It's not doing either one exactly perfectly, but it's getting both of them close enough that, like, I don't hate what they're doing here. And, like, Fans Hobby at least has interesting ideas. And so far, it seems like they're able to actually take that stuff through to execution acceptably. Like, I don't think anybody's really had anything bad to say about a Fans Hobby toy in years and years and years. They've got a really good track record.
So are they swapping parts? Is that what they're doing?
So the cannons look like they're, you pull them off and you switch places with them. But apparently, like, the wings and the stabilizers, it's panels that will fold in and out. So as much of it as possible is being done integral.
Huh.
I assume they did this because, like, they're doing some Armada stuff. Like, there's, what do they call it, Naval Commander. They have some Energon stuff with another Optimus Prime, and I think they're just kind of, like, bridging the gap with this instead of doing two different versions of essentially the same character.
I see how you get the wing goes from a diamond pattern, they fold it in half to get that bent wing pattern.
Mm-hmm.
And then the guns just either are under the wing or on top of the torso, on top of the fuselage. Okay.
Yeah, and, like, the layout of the robot shapes of the original
robots.
No, there's not here. I'm saying, like, the original designs for Energon and Armada Starscream, the way the parts are laid out is similar enough to where you can probably get away with doing the same thing. But what's going to be the real problem here is the colors. Those were two very differently colored toys, and what's the question mark here is going to be whose colors do they prioritize with this?
Yeah.
I would guess it's going to be the Armada colors because they're the more Starscream-y colors. But time will have to tell on this. At least with this, we're looking at a very early prototype here, but with Fans Hobby, they don't show stuff and then not make it. This is not going to turn out to be vaporware. We're going to see a completed version of this at some point, probably this year.
Hmm.
So this is something I'm going to be paying attention to at least. And, like, I don't know if I'm going to end up buying one. I like both of those toys. I like Armada Starscream as a character. What I would love to see, actually, if they make this and it turns out well, is for them to go back and do, like, Thundercracker colors on this. Because, like, for the official Energon Starscream mold, there was never any, like, full array of Seeker colors done for that. So that'd be kind of like a first for that body style if Fans Hobby did that. And that would be interesting, too. This is something I'm going to keep in mind, though, and I may end up getting one down the road, depending on the price point and just how everything kind of plays out, especially when we see the robot mode. Any other takers on this, potentially?
I would definitely get it. I want to see how it's executed first, like you said.
Mm-hmm.
But I have a lot of their stuff, so I would probably get it unless it just
catches on fire by itself.
Yeah, it's more the colors, like you said. If the colors can do it justice, I'll probably pick it up. But I'm gonna have to see it in color first.
Yeah, that makes sense.
It's gonna come with Minicon.
Well, they're not showing it yet. I think they did make Minicons for some of their other Armada based products, though. So there's a good chance of it. All right. Anybody else before we move on?
I have no thoughts on this.
Nah, not really.
Excellent. All right. So Bradford Exchange, who apparently exists, is making a licensed Transformers wall clock.
Huh.
Hmm. It's got a pendulum, too.
Yeah.
Is it a cuckoo clock? Does Laserbeak poke out every hour?
That would be epic. Great.
That'd be kind of
nifty. This is more not a cuckoo clock, though.
See, I'm mad at this now, Sean, and it's all your fault.
I know. I knew you were going to say that.
It's got a matrix. I wonder if the matrix lights up or anything.
Huh.
Yeah, it would have to light up at, like, midnight, light your darkest hour.
Oh!
Yeah, it's a little on the pricey side, though, $200.
It's also a little bit on the obnoxiously busy side. Like, I can't imagine
thinking that, too.
You set your alarm, and it goes, one shall rise and one shall fall.
Funny. Yeah, I mean, I don't see that anything in this animates in any way. Mm-hmm. It's just pretty much a clock with a pendulum.
Yeah.
A
really busy clock,
yeah. If I was going to spend money on a clock that had a pendulum, I would get one of those kitty cat clocks that had the eyes that look back and forth.
Oh, those would be Ravage.
Yeah.
Call it Ravage. That would be pretty awesome if they did a Ravage like that in that style.
Yeah, that would be fun.
See, they're missing the boat on all this stuff. You need a sound wave, and every hour its chest opens up and lays down goes, cuckoo.
There you go. That's perfect. They did not consult us before they decided on this design.
And this is the problem. They really should.
Yeah.
They really should.
These are just easy choices. And it'd be digital clock, too, but it's Soundwave. You have to have the dial or anything.
Yep.
I like this
clock. Like anybody knows how to read a dial clock.
But you
actually get the clock.
You actually like this thing?
I like it. It's not as good as the ideas we've talked about, but
if it didn't have the pendulum and it could sit on the counter, I think it'd be better.
Okay. You like this clock, but are you going to pay $200 for it?
I'm considering it.
Oh, dude, really?
Yeah.
Goes with your Light Bright Optimus Prime.
Come on, how many clocks do I have that are Transformers?
Now, here's the big question. If I bought this for Joey, would he hang it in his room?
Well,
could I guilt? See, now I say Joey because I go to his house and go, how come the clock's not hanging?
I know. I have no choice. And then he pulls the sad friend. Oh, man.
I thought, yeah, I spent $200 on that clock.
Yeah, you know, you can take down the picture in the middle above your desk back there and put the clock right there. It'd be in a great central location. We'd even be able to see it in the video frame here. So every other week, Sean would have verification whether you're keeping his gift alive.
I do have a clock in this room. You can't see it. It's on the wall right there above my Tron cabinet.
Okay, well then
it's a Star Wars clock.
Okay, but then it's all but useless if we can't see it on video. How are we supposed to know what time it is, Joey?
Yeah, well, maybe I should set up differently next time so you can see different angles of the room.
What's Bob this? Is showing us he's got a clock.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you can't see the hands on mine because it's illuminated.
Yeah.
It's a have a happy day, smiley face guy.
It's my boring, everyday, ordinary clock right there.
Yeah.
Yep.
Right next to my portal gun.
My clock is on my phone and on my computer.
Yep. And that's where most of my clocks are. Yeah. I just have that clock there because we used to have it in the basement of our house 20-something years ago. Mm-hmm. That was before I was quite as digital as I am now because it was 20-something odd years ago.
Right. Yeah, I mean, like, even 10 years ago, I still had, like, a separate discrete alarm clock. I didn't just, you know, do all that through my phone.
I was still resisting a smartphone 10 years ago, but now it's my brain.
Yeah,
I think 10 years ago is about when I got my first smartphone.
Yeah, I was late to the game on that, too.
Mm-hmm. I mean, for the longest time, I just didn't really have a need for one. You know what else I don't have a need for is this clock.
Yeah.
Absolutely. If it was the sound wave that the chest popped out and it laser beak,
well,
that's the clock that Transformer fans want.
Well, I'll take the Ravage with the eyes looking back and forth.
That too. Yeah. That too.
Hopefully someone is listening who, like, can get a license and make one of these clocks that we've pitched here because, like, Soundwave Cuckoo Clock, if nothing else, that has to exist at some point.
I mean, you're just throwing money away if you don't.
Know, you're right? Leaving money on the table. Speaking of leaving money on the table, by which I mean my table because I would never buy any of this, Dimmec Cross Transformers apparel items, which... I looked at these before, and these are like some of the most boring licensed apparel items I can recall seeing in a great long time. Like, there's not even any shoes with seeker wings on them. What are they even doing?
Yeah, this is just like, and is this evergreen art? Like,
yeah, probably.
What's with the black and white? I mean,
maybe that's just a mock-up.
Grayscale, grayscale shirts.
This is just stupid.
Yeah.
I don't get it.
As a fan, I will come and go, who is that on your shirt? I don't understand who that is.
And the worst part is the price range on these is from like $50 to $80. These are not cheap.
Right? So they won't be selling any of these then.
Well, they might sell a little bit more of these than Porsche is selling of their, you know, Porsche Transformers apparel, which is
look from... at these pictures. I don't know who the characters are on half these shirts.
Well, there's some Bumblebee. Yeah, that's a Bumblebee. Always. There's Optimus Prime.
They don't look like characters to me.
There's more Bumblebee, more Optimus Prime. Oh. I think it might all just be Bumblebee and Optimus Prime, actually. No, there's a Wheeljack right at the end.
This one guy looks like Snowcat.
Which one?
It's kind of got a name on it. It's a little hard to tell from the picture. I'm going to open it in a separate tab.
The one where the shirt says Dim Mac.
Yeah.
Thank you, Sean. That's very helpful.
That is what it says at the bottom. And yeah. It almost...
The only character I've seen...
Snowcat, or it could be... It's a police car. It's like I see on the right-hand side and the left-hand arm. Oh, it's got...
How do I share this picture?
Almost looks like maybe Strong Arm.
No, that's
Barricade. It says Optimus Prime hoodie, but it does not look like Optimus Prime.
No, the police car is Barricade.
No, I'm looking at one that says Dimac Transformers Optimus Prime hoodie. But it's in the grayscale, and it does not look like Optimus Prime.
Which picture is that?
Shoot. If you are looking.
Yeah, I'm on the link we have in the show notes.
Okay.
Picture number four, I can't figure out who it is.
That's Barricade.
Okay. Fourth row, the last one on the right.
If you right-click the picture, you can open it in a separate tab. And you can get
that's Optimus Prime.
It does not look like Optimus Prime.
That is Optimus Prime.
Yeah, if you read it, it says it is.
No, I recognize that art. That's Optimus Prime.
It doesn't look like Snowcat to you?
No. Mm. I don't think you remember what Snowcat looks like.
Hey, he's got the windshields and wipers, and he bends over.
Yes, that's Optimus Prime does.
But Optimus Prime is red and blue, not white.
It's gray. Right,
So anyway, none of us are buying these overpriced, really badly considered shirts and hoodies. So let's move on to what everyone needs in the year of our Lord 2024, koosh balls.
Yes. They still make koosh balls?
Evidently, Diecast, they still make koosh balls.
But you can't throw this koosh ball at anyone because it's got like a big head sticking out of it, so it's going to hurt them.
No, Diecast, you shouldn't throw this koosh ball at anyone. You can do whatever you want.
Now, it looks like it's hard plastic. We don't know. It could be rubber.
It's I've actually felt one of these because I have one at the
Optimus Prime
at the grocery outlet. They have it, so I looked at it.
But these Transformers ones,
yeah. They were like they felt like a softer plastic. They're not like as hard as like.
Did you throw it at anybody?
The Transformer.
So no, you felt the head.
I was in a store.
Softer?
Yeah.
How did the head feel?
It was softer.
Okay, so this is still going to hurt, but it's not going to, like, draw blood, probably.
Probably not.
Which, you know, is what you look for in a koosh ball. Won't draw blood.
Although the sharp edges, like, if you look right by his hands, those look pretty nasty.
Yeah, they do. They really do.
And Bumblebee there has got little horns.
Yeah.
No, I wouldn't recommend actually throwing these at someone.
No.
But if you do, probably you're not going to kill them.
Probably.
So that's always, always the plus.
Maybe they just really got it coming, you know? Yes.
Use the Megatron one for that.
I just want to know who was like, I have a great idea. You know the koosh ball? Let's put some arms and a head on it. that'll
defeats
really make
the whole point
better.
Of the koosh ball.
Yeah, it does. It defeats.
Somebody said, "What are we going to do with this koosh ball license we got?"
Like, I don't even remember what you're supposed to do with a koosh ball. Like, we used to just throw them around, and also, you know, maybe hit them with a wiffle ball bat or something. Bat. Like,
you throw it and you go koosh.
So, I don't want to do any of those with. With the head and arm
rackets.
On it.
Like with them, you hit them with a tennis racket type thing? Like a paddle?
Yeah, this is
you
so...
You could do that, yeah.
This is, like, just getting past the whole thing of, like, koosh balls still exist. Like, that's weird enough. But I don't understand this specific application of the koosh ball at all with, like... character features sticking out of them. I don't know how you would make a licensed Transformer Koosh Ball without a head and something sticking out to see what it's supposed to be, because like if you just did it by colors, yeah, that's just a red and yellow Koosh Ball. Like,
yeah.
Is there a version where it's like a truck cab sticking out of a Koosh Ball?
No.
Megatron version. He's a gun barrel sticking out of a Koosh Ball.
Oh, wow. That'd be creepy. It's just a Koosh Ball. Just a Koosh Ball.
Please drop the Koosh Ball.
The only seeming positive to this is that these would have to be fairly cheap.
Yeah, it's probably like a $5 item.
They're about like $6.
Yeah, that sounds right. I would more be looking for these at Dollar Tree.
Imagine you probably find these at Five Below.
I was going to get one of these. But
I have a price for them.
Oh?
They are list price of $14.99.
What?
Dang.
No.
Where are you getting that?
Dream on.
Amazon. Koosh Cameos is what they're called. They have Bumblebee, Optimus Prime,
okay,
Mandalorian,
okay,
Stormtrooper.
Okay, but click into one of those listings and see if they're being sold directly by Amazon or not. Because if that's like a marketplace seller price, then that's not really indicative.
They're saying that's what the list price is. They're actually selling them cheaper. And it says visit the Koosh store.
Okay, that's probably official then. That's ridiculous. Forget everything. This is a terrible idea, and they should feel bad.
Yeah. I wonder if I could still get it at the
try next time.
Well, I think they're roughly 10. Optimus Prime is $9.93, but Bumblebee is $14.99. The Star Wars Stormtrooper one has the gun sticking out.
That's what I'm wondering about. Since you mentioned it, I'm like, I want to see these Star Wars Koosh Balls. There's a Yoda? Or I guess it's a Grogu?
Does the Mandalorian come with a smaller Koosh Ball?
Grogu just looks like he hid in a Koosh Ball.
Yes. That kind of makes sense, at least, in a weird way.
There's a Darth Vader. Did you ever see the Darth Vader one with the lightsaber sticking out?
Yeah.
So I think we can firmly establish these not been designed with the thought of throwing them around at all.
Now, because they missed the obvious one. Why not do Unicron?
Oh, yeah. I was also thinking, like, if they wanted to do, like, licensed brand synergy, what they need to make is the Chia Koosh Ball.
Did
they do the painter guy Bob Ross? Did they do a Bob Ross Koosh?
Oh, they should have.
The hair and then just the little face.
All right,
I got probably a Bob Ross if you really want one.
All right, let's quickly go through our last two items here. So Loungefly Transformers pins and Bumblebee backpack and wallet.
Nice.
Okay, the first pin, when they show them separately, you got the four pins. I know it's Bumblebee, Optimus, Megatron. Is that supposed to be Soundwave?
I think so.
Yeah.
Somebody's never seen Soundwave.
The pins aren't great. Of all the things on here, I kind of like the wallet the best.
Did you say like the bad backpack? Bumblebee on it?
I mean, it's a mini backpack anyway, so it's not even useful as a backpack.
So tired of Bumblebee looking like that.
Well, it's, maybe another 10 or 12 years, you know, live action Bumblebee will be out of style.
Curse you, Michael.
You said that 10 or 12 years ago.
That's what all the kids think Bumblebee looks like.
Yep. Well, they're wrong, though, Bob. They're wrong.
I'm aware.
I was telling Joey this the other day. When the first movie came out, the first live action movie came out, one of my son's friends was at the house, and he goes, I remember the first Bumblebee. I said, yeah. He goes, yeah, but his name was, what's the Armada guy? Sure Shot or whatever?
Hot Shot, yeah.
And I said, no, the first Bumblebee was Bumblebee. He was Volkswagen, but no. I said, dude, I was there in 1984. You weren't even thought of.
Our last thing is the Icon Heroes Constructicons pin set, which as a thing to just get and leave in the box, I think looks really cool.
It'd be cool if you buy six pins and then join them together and make one big pin.
It looks really, really cool, and I would absolutely buy that if it wasn't $100.
Yeah, that's
the $100.
Yeah, it's $100.
I mean, it's really cool looking.
The packaging design on this is beautiful. It's like really excellently thought out.
The price point is not.
No.
So okay. So how in the world is a pin set that is it's decoed out to look like more or less, you know, the six pack gift set of Constructicons?
Yeah.
Priced higher than the six-pack gift set of Constructicons.
You know, you make an excellent point. I don't have a good answer, but you make an excellent point.
That is funny.
I mean, my gosh. I spoke of going to Disney World before. Everything at Disney World is sky high, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The pins, the little pins, they're all over all of the parks. Mm-hmm. The little mm-hmm. kiosks all over the place. You get Disney pins. My kids are into this, so I know all about it. All right. Disney pins don't cost as much as these pins individually. You break them down by $100 divided by that. That's ridiculous. So
where I'm at on this, I would seriously consider buying this as a thing to just keep in the packaging and display if it was $20.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
How do they justify $100 for this?
I mean, all you know the what? Icons.
I would, if it was $30, I would buy it, but it's not even, it's not worth that, but I would.
They justify it in that somebody is going to pay $100 for it.
Avarice, Sean.
Yeah, I mean, the Icon Hero stuff is like typically a little bit on the expensive side. Like they made all the character helmets, right? The Soundwave and Megatron Optimus, and that they did a cover Commander too, didn't they? That was all Icon Heroes, and those were kind of expensive too.
So yeah, but they all clearanced out pretty cheap.
Well, maybe these pins will clearance out pretty cheap too someplace, and we can get them for the $20 or $30 of our dreams.
Ross. Only if GameStop sells them.
Yeah. I mean, it's possible GameStop sells other kinds of licensed pin sets like that, so they might end up picking this up. Or they might know better with Icon Heroes stuff by now and not even bother.
Those helmets were great, though. I mean, they weren't comfortable, but they were great.
Well,
so I guess they were okay.
Yeah, I mean, it's like it's like the Hasbro Lightning Collection Lord Zedd helmet. You know, I don't think anybody really wants to wear that, but it's made really nicely and looks good just as a shelf piece.
Was it made of meat?
It looked like it was, but no.
The brain was soft. I have that helmet. It's very nice.
All right. Let's go ahead and jump into what we got this week. Joey, we're going to start with you because we're coming up against your bedtime.
Getting very sleepy. You know what? I didn't get anything this week, unfortunately.
Well, yay! That's very convenient then. Bob, how about you?
I got nothing. Absolutely nothing.
This is going to be a short show this week. I like it. Frank, you're up next.
I got nothing. Zero donut.
Sean?
I got tons of ham sandwiches.
All right, well, let's get going.
Sean saves the show.
I got Valentine's gifts. I got a coffee mug. It says, sometimes you forget you're awesome. This is your reminder. See, so I am awesome. I was at Walmart the other day, and they had the, what is this called, the wand?
Oh, the Neutrona wand? Yeah.
Yeah. It looks better than the last one they did for the last movie, so I bought it. It's $25. Mm-hmm. It's also a lot cheaper than the $125 one on the website.
Right.
Wow.
I got a couple of Legos.
Ooh.
They came out with baby Lego minifigures, and then last year they came out with a space version. Now they come out with a whole set for them.
Oh, okay.
Cool. It's based on one of the ones from the 79.
Oh, yeah.
But it's tiny sized, but I got that for free when I ordered my new space stations.
Oh, that's cool.
I just got it today, so I haven't had a chance to open it, but this is the third space station they came out with. Everyone's different, but the best gift of all I got this last week, Lego space stations.
Oh, okay.
The best gift of all was from Joey, though. I got a Wilford Brimley figure.
Diabetes.
And it even came with an autographed Valentine.
Ooh.
So yeah. I can get that appraised. But I now have a Wilford Brimley to go with my Ernest Borgnine.
That is pretty amazing, actually.
Yes, I love this. I could not believe he said, make sure you check your porch every day. And I get home and I saw it on the porch, and I all I saw was the car, and I said, who the heck is Wilford? And then I opened it up and I about died. So, but I love my Wilford Brimley.
So it's like a customized reaction figure?
I don't know where he got it from. Etsy, he said.
Okay.
He's right there. Why don't we ask him? Joey, where'd you get that?
Etsy. Or at least I think that's where I got it from. I ordered it actually a long time ago.
Oh, yeah. Well, then you probably did order it from Etsy, because that turnaround can be pretty severe on there.
Yeah.
It's a retro gimmick.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it sure is. Says so all over it.
Yep.
Now, that looks really cool. Sean posted a picture of that several days ago in our private Discord channel, too, so we all got a good look at it. Like, that's actually really neat.
Mm-hmm.
It's something I never expected to find.
And as it turns out, it found you.
Yes, it did.
Anything else, Sean?
That's it for me.
Diecast, got anything to talk about?
Oh, unfortunately, I don't, but I will just say that I jumped on GameStop. The helmets were actually Modern Icons, not
Modern Icons.
Heroes.
Okay. Well, you can understand how I'd get those confused.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I was looking to see if they were going to carry that pin set, but unfortunately, I couldn't find anything by Icon Heroes on GameStop's website, so we'll probably never see those cheap.
No, I'm sure we've talked about Icon Heroes stuff on RFC before too, so that probably didn't help the confusion either.
Yeah. These names tend to blend together.
Yeah, no, I mean that really is a shame if we don't ever see this for under $100, because like that it's a really pretty set. I'd love to have one. So what I did actually get this week, just one thing. So we were actually talking about this earlier or in pre-show about how the legacy wave with Beachcomber and DevCon, like those, the toys from that are kind of expensive and hard to get now because that wave just did not have good distribution anywhere. Another victim of that was the Junkion retool on that axle grease, which I never saw in a store, and I was not like super eager to get. You know, early on when it was in the pre-order phase or anything. So I never went in for one and never had the chance to pick one up off of Amazon or anything afterward. And I kind of thought, you know, the ship had sailed on that. Well, flash forward to about 2 weeks ago, and over on Blue Sky, Rob Clay, was talking to some people about the Japanese store he's been doing a lot of business with the last few months, Suruga or Surugaya. And he was recommending to some people who were looking for Beachcomber and DevCon to check there, because most weekends they do a free shipping promotion, which free international shipping from Japan saves a lot of money, and they have a lot of like recent Takara release Transformers stuff available. So I finally realized, oh, I could go look on there for an axle grease, and lo and behold, they actually did have axle grease in stock, and thanks to the currency conversion rates right now and that free shipping promotion, I got a Takara release United Axle Grease for the same as I would have paid for the domestic Hasbro release.
You see the car? Crazy. You see the car one?
Yeah, she is the blue and purple car.
Okay, and are they? Is that the one they're going to repaint again to make it? The bounty hunter that we were talking about earlier.
Okay, so we actually think Lockdown is going to be a retool of Chase from United Wave 1.
Oh, really? Because that one looks almost exactly like his animated version. Oops, I'm sorry. I put that on the dog.
Don't step on the dog.
No, I put my pile of toys on top of the dog. I forgot she was laying on the chair under a blanket.
that's a very well-behaved dog to just let you pile toys on her.
She's very small. Oh, come here. She's very tiny.
Aww. Oh, she is.
Yeah, so.
She's very tiny and looks afraid.
Yeah, she's cold. She got to get back under her blanket.
This is a very visual episode.
It certainly is, yeah.
We're waiting for our listener to ask for video only.
What breed is she? She looks poodly.
She's a toy poodle.
Okay, yeah.
She's a 13-year-old toy poodle.
Was she always gray, or is it just because she's old?
She's silver, yeah.
So I have axle grease. It actually got delivered yesterday on the postal holiday because it was International Express mail. And, you know, for some stuff, the mail never sleeps. And so I finally got this after, you know, months of never seeing one and thinking I missed out, and then like, oh, well, there's a chance. It turns out this is the worst of the deluxe Junkions.
Really?
Like, easily. So this is the retool of Scraphook as a car. And like, that inherently is not the problem with it. And I actually like the way the retooling went on this. Like, in the vehicle mode especially, it looks really nice. But the joint tolerances feel a little bit gummy on it. The car mode does not want to completely tab together right. Like, there's no paint blemishes or like outright defects. It's just the toy just does not like fit together and work with itself even as well as Scraphook did. And like, I liked Scraphook a lot. Like, it was a great introduction to the concept, and nothing else has really matched what that did. But like, it still was not a perfect toy, and this just, you know, it slides further down that hill. I really like the retooling they did. They made this a very distinctly different toy, especially in the vehicle mode. You know, the back end has new accessory pieces to plug on to kind of fill in the sloped car roof shape. They changed out the engine, like supercharger guns, so you know, it looked like a different intake style. It still has the tow hook from Scraphook, which does not really have a good place to go on here, and that's like the one like failure point of how the accessories were handled. You know, but for the most part, the retooling itself actually turned out really nice. I'm really happy with how that part of it went, but the manufacturing of the toy just does not feel like it went all that well. And of course, it does have the same problem that Scraphook and Towline both do, where if you try to use the bicep swivels, you just end up ripping the forearm off at that friction hinge joint.
Did Kara do any paint apps or different things?
No, they did no.
They did on the cartoon stuff. What you call it?
Oh yeah, the Earthspark line.
Yeah, they redid them. What colors on that?
The legacy stuff is exactly the Hasbro product. In fact, the packaging is just a Hasbro box with a bunch of stickers on it to cover up the like the Hasbro character name panels, and to hide all the Hasbro logos, and
really?
You know, have their local like regulatory information stuff on here instead of the Hasbro printing.
Really, they just take it and they put stickers on. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's more or less been that way since like Power of the Primes when they did brand unification. So, you know, they're taking all the same stuff and just having stickers applied. Even the instruction sheet has at least one sticker put over it in the same fashion.
To make it even harder to understand?
No, I mean, most of it's untouched, but, like, it just changes the brand dress to what it looked like for the Takara packaging. And, again, they didn't manage to cover the Hasbro logo, but I thought it was interesting that even the instruction sheet, they have someone go and, you know, run it through and a sticker gets applied over it. It's not just, like, a straight use there either.
You know, it's funny. We always talk about, you know, prices going up and why they go up. This is stuff they do to save money. We never see the benefits of that.
Yeah. Well, the benefits are kind of invisible in that, you know, doing stuff this way probably staves off price increases a little bit longer.
Right.
There's not like, you know, an immediate reactive gain to it. It's a preventative one, if anything. Okay, well, I guess that does it for our show this week, since it was a slow acquisitions week or 2 weeks. It was a slow acquisitions fortnight for us, because that is a proper word. I will learn to use that more in the context of this podcast. We are the fortnightly Transformers merchandising podcast. There goes my money.
That works.
Yes.
All right. Well, Diecast, Joey, Bob, Frank, Sean, thank you all for being here. Thank you all out there for listening, and we will be back in
a fortnight.
This has been There Goes My Money.
This show's going places.
It's like Hot Pause.
That's right, exactly.
Ah, but the difference is these episodes actually come out. Hey!
Hey, yo!
Waka waka!
The beauty of being my own editor is I have complete control over facts and history.
So you can Frankenstein together an entire hot
an entire episode of There Goes My Money.
So give me about 6 or 8 months to get audio assets together, and yes, I could.
But you need to make one where it's like the time when Diecast convinced Don he forgot to hit record, and just everybody's just beep, 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 beep.
I mean, that part's even easier. If I just censor beep over a bunch of stuff, I can make it sound like anything's going on. No, when I was doing Superhero Time, there was a couple of occasions where, for various reasons, I had to legitimately reconstruct some sentences using bits and pieces from elsewhere in the show. And I swear, when that went out, no one could tell that I had actually done that.
That's
like
impressive.
When I was in practice of doing this every single week, I had gotten pretty damn good at this. I'm getting my podcasting sea legs back.
Hey, just get the AI to do it though.
No. That's all I have to say on that. No.